Well, today would have been Elvis Presley's 80th birthday. But before he was a rock and roll icon that we celebrate today, Elvis started out covering other musicians' tunes.
We're joined now by music buff and radio host Rockin' John McDonald from WRT in Madison to talk about Elvis's earlier musical output. John, thanks a lot for joining us here in the studio.
Nice being here.
Well, now we're looking back on Elvis, and we know the whole Elvis thing. But can you try to paint us a picture of what it was like when is this new kid, you know, on the TV, on the radio? What was it like for Americans to see him for the first few times?
It was like a cyclone. It's the only way to describe it. There wasn't really anybody like that before he came along. And it just, he affected a whole bunch of musicians, too. People tend to forget that. A lot of country singers switched to rock and roll after Elvis hit. They said, yeah, he said, Elvis changed everything. That's the expression I heard hear the most when you talk to musicians of the 50s.
Did people know right away that he was doing something new, something nobody had done before, or did he just have a lot of charisma?
Well, it was a charisma, and all that wiggling and shaking he was doing, too. That kind of helped a lot, but he did a... Like, he would cover these country songs and all these rhythm and blues songs. He was kind of reworked them. That's what I heard Heartbreak Hotel on the radio when I was a kid, and I heard his name, and I heard this song, and I said, that's a rhythm and blues singer. I was shocked when I found out what he looked like. But I think he was just, you know, he's kind of in the right place. He's right in the middle of the rock and roll scene was just really getting rolling, and he was, I guess, there at the right time.
Let's talk more about that look and what you thought about it. You're shocked. You said a good way or a bad way? Like, what the heck is that? Or did you want to, you know, get a little Elvis into your wardrobe?
Oh, I thought it was cool.
Now, you mentioned he sounded like a rhythm and blues guy. He has a country background. How did that, those diverse influences shape his music, gospel too, I guess? How did all that meld into what we know as Elvis now?
Yeah, that's a good question, because he kind of did, you know, meld into everything. He could sing everything. He could ballads, and they were looking for a new sound at Sun Records, and him, Scotty, and Bill, Scotty Moore and Bill Black, they were just messing around in the studio, and Sam Phillips came busting in. He said, what were you guys just doing? He said, keep doing that. And he ran the tape recorders, and but, you know, it was a combination. He could sing everything, like I said, and the rhythm and blues stuff, I love his R&B stuff, and he knew R&B. You could just tell by what he recorded.
The gospel part really interests me. I don't think of Elvis as a church boy, not with, you know, his moves on stage, but he got to start singing in church, a Pentecostal church, and it sounds like you can kind of hear that gospel strand all the way to the end of his career.
Yeah, he's well, that's what he used to do to relax when he was out on the road, out on these long tours. If he was staying in a hotel, he'd make sure there was a piano around, and he would sit around, and all the musicians, they'd all sit around and sing gospel music. He loved gospel music right till the end.
Well, let's give a listen to a little Elvis. One of his earlier hits was his version of the classic Bill Monroe bluegrass song, Blue Moon of Kentucky. He recorded for Sun, I guess, in July of 1954. Here's a taste.
I say blue moon of Kentucky, they keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say blue moon of Kentucky, they keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue.
Well, so talk us through that track and how it got Elvis'd.
Well, the Bill Monroe version is straight up almost country bluegrass, and it's got a waltz beat. If you hear the original, Elvis totally reworked it, changed the beat, changed the tempo, changed the feel of the song, and he did that with a lot of songs, and that's probably a classic example of totally reworking a song and turning it into his style.
And early on, it sounds like a lot of country music DJs said Elvis sounded too black for their listeners, and some people accused him of appropriating that music, too. And then R&B stations said he sounded too country. So, I don't know, this guy's clearly doing new things. Did those factors, you know, kind of mash up and spawn rockabilly?
Yeah, it's, and the real Iron Easy ended up getting played on top 40 radio all over the place and back in the 1950s. And, yeah, he was doing rockabilly, I guess, before the term was invented. There was that term came later. When I was growing up, we didn't call it rockabilly music or doo-wop. It was all rock and roll to us. That's what we called it.
You know, it seems like the safe path, if you want to be a musical success, is to go into that established genre, fit into it. I play country, and the country stations play me. Or I play R&B, and the R&B stations play me. Is this a template for creating something new and successful, bursting those boundaries? Did anybody else do it like Elvis did?
Well, he was the first. I think eventually a lot of rock and rollers started getting played on R&B stations. Carl Perkins' Blue Suede Shoes is a huge hit on the country charts and the rhythm and blues charts, but Elvis got there first. He kind of opened the gates for all these other artists to get on the charts. And that's amazing. These records would hit multiple charts. It wasn't just top 40. A lot of these singles that Elvis did hit everything, R&B, country. And I can still remember hearing Heartbreak Hotel, on the radio. I went, whoa.
what kind of music is that?
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to have a favorite Elvis period, the early Elvis. A lot of the country fans like that. The middle Elvis could be the golden. I don't know. There must be somebody who likes the later Elvis as well. I don't know who they are. But do you have a favorite period of Elvis where you think he really was the most Elvis-y Elvis?
It has to be the 1950s. To me, that's when I got hooked on him. Maybe I'm kind of partial. But...
what did he sing then?
Oh, he was singing flat-out rock and roll records and ballads, and he had a small band playing with him. And the 60s, he got a little more poppy. His music got a little more of the pop sound, and he started doing those movie soundtracks. And in the 70s, it's more glitz and Las Vegas, and he was doing a lot of songs. He liked all the songs he did, or he wouldn't have recorded them or performed them, but... to me, it's the 1950s. That's the real Elvis to me.
Well, let's stay in the 50s. We mentioned Elvis making appearances on TV. Here's a clip of his 1956 song, Too Much. This is him on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1957. Our producer told us this is one of your favorites.
Yeah, to me, that's my favorite Elvis song. It's just, it's a rocker. What more can you say? And my dad heard it on the radio when he was driving home from work. And he said, I think I just heard Elvis's new record on the radio. It's called Too Much. I'll give you guys your allowance. You can go buy it in the record store. And I would have been... 12 years old, I think. My brother was about 9. So we got hooked early on rock and roll.
Now, at the end of his career, Elvis seemed to go back to those roots. And we talked about gospel. He seemed to fill his live sets with country music and gospel music again. What do you make of that?
Well, he's doing what he wanted. His fans, his gospel albums sold really well. A lot of his fans, bought them. And I think he won Grammys for one or two of them, I think. So, he just was kept going back to, to the gospel stuff because he loves singing it and he just loved performing it. I mean, he's doing How Great Thou Art, as part of his live set in the 70s. And as I said a couple times, he could sing anything. I think that's kind of been overlooked about what a great singer he was.
Now, he appealed to a lot of generations over there. I got to ask, there's your dad telling you, hey, I heard this Elvis song on the radio. Here's your allowance money. Did he like Elvis, too?
Yeah, my parents were kind of strange in the 1950s. Most parents were trying to keep their kids away from rock and roll. My parents were giving my brother and I an allowance to go out and buy 45s. They like Elvis, they like Buddy Holly, they like Fats Domino, Chuck Berry. So I had, when I moved here in 1957, I had quite a stash of 45s when I got here.
And that stuck. That stash has been growing, hasn't it?
Yeah. Keeps growing. I'm still buying them.
You're talking about his voice as something that people overlook, and I was struck by especially that first Sun Records tune that we played there, Blue Moon. His voice is amazing. I mean, he can dance, he can do it all, but his voice, what is it about Elvis's voice do you think that makes him so special?
Well, it's unique. You know it's Elvis when you hear it, but he had a song called It's Now or Never in the early 60s, and he hits this real high note at the end of it. If you've ever heard the song, you know, give it a listen. And yeah, he could really sing. And I think people just remember the shaking and the wiggling and the stage shows and
the sequins and yeah. The, yeah, all that
the
stuff.
The jumpsuits.
Well, the voice was amazing. John, thank you for coming on and talking Elvis with us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Rockin' John McDonald, the host of the radio show I Like It Like That on Wart in Madison.